This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
I have a public record, and you can go look it up. I went to Wall Street before the Great Recession and basically called them out, said that their behavior was putting our economy at risk, called for a moratorium on foreclosures.
Hillary Clinton defending. It is her best position. She's always on the defense, rarely on the offense. Everybody jamming her with the whole email thing and Wall Street, so she defends the whole Wall Street thing. Hey, listen, get off the lady's back. So she gets paid $500,000 to speak for Wall Street firms. Who cares, right? Kate Delaney, America Tonight. No, I think it is brutal. And she is right in the sense that, look, she can do what she wants to do. But you can't erase the stigmatism of, we got jobbed by Wall Street. We bailed out the banks, and then there was nothing attached to it. Thank you, Hank Paulson. And who's left holding the bag in the long run? It's you and me. I was doing America Tonight when all that happened. And so many of you called and said, let the banks fail. Let the banks fail. Let the banks fail. I mean, in reality, would that be good? Would that tank the economy? What would that do in the long run? All the bill of goods that we were sold. But I love how we cut these deals and nothing is attached to it. Great, here's your money. Boom. It's like we're bagmen for banks. So if she is getting paid big checks or was paid several times from Wall Street people, hey, she was paid to do it. So that's that. Period. And if she gets nailed for doing that, so be it. It's fair game. Debates. You could ask yourself, are debates fair? And we're going to talk about that in a second. But before we get there, at least five people have been killed in a shooting outside a suburb, outside of Pittsburgh, they say. It's four women and one man. It was a shooting at a house. Just the four people were dead on arrival, four others transported to the hospital, so there were injuries, too. It happened at 11 o'clock at night, East Coast time. Might have taken place at a backyard party. 25 gunshots is what a witness said they heard. Think of yourself for a second. Think of your neighborhood, and imagine you hear boom, 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 boom. It's like a pop. 25 times. What's the first thing you're doing? Calling the cops, right? Hopefully. Or you're doing something. I mean, if it's close to you. And I guess it was pretty chaotic in that suburb. And they took the victims to all these different hospitals. So what started that? How did that happen? Tempers flared and guns went off. You know, somebody's gun went off anyway. But I think it'd be scary to hear that in the neighborhood, right? And who knows what the story is behind that. Let's put it that way. All right, as we move around and talk about this Democratic debate, because that's what we had, another Democratic debate, it was more of the same. I mean, you know, we're hearing the same things over and over and over and over and over again. So when it comes to debating, you know, are we enthralled by this? Are we entertained by it? Are we learning something we didn't know? Is somebody thinking that this has changed their mind in some way? And I'm going to say, not hardly. I don't think so. It's just the same of the same of the same. It's like going to the double feature again and again and again. And I say double because they're so long. Let's go to Grim. Pop him off right at the top. Hey, Grim.
Kate.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, I have to thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show and talk. And I try my best. Tonight on Mark Levin, I don't know if you heard it, but he announced that, you know, there was a reason for him having such a hoarse voice and coughing all the time. He said he went to the doctor. And, you know, you kind of had that at the beginning of the year yourself.
Yeah.
And he said, don't worry, audience, it's nothing serious. The doctor said I had asthma, which got me to thinking I need to just, you know, my consideration towards you, Kate, is you probably should seek an insurance agent and get you some extra, insure your throat. Girl, it's your business. You know it's, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, because what happens if you lose your voice? Yes.
I mean, All I can do is pass on words of wisdom, and that's what I'm trying to do for you out of the appreciation you've showed me.
Well, thank you for that. Somebody else suggested something similar. Yes, thank you.
Well, you know, the increase in just medicine for asthma, you know, it may cover it. That's my whole, I mean, my dad was we won't say the company, but he was an insurance agent for 7 years, and he had WOX. Now, I'll say that because that's just a broadcasting station.
Right.
He had the general manager, and he had the owner of the communication system insured. And he, you know, left this company because of their ways and their practices. And he warned most of his agents. He said, one day they won't pay. And
yeah.
Sure enough, Katrina come along. And my dad had been passed on, and I got more phone calls from his clients. Where is Reggie?
They need help, yes.
Yeah, so, but.
Good advice.
Anyhow, you know, I'm with Dan. I would like to see Cruz in there now. I'm hearing all this bad business of Trump's. And I'm hearing even on the, you know, the Christian broadcasting, how they're fighting their best to put him down because of his business practices. Nightline tried to do the same thing tonight. And I would, but Cruz kind of reminds me of Richard Nixon. Now, if you go back in time and look at how he ran his campaign, when he ran two, a lot of people don't know that. He lost his first campaign for president. He didn't win. I think it was at the Republican nomination, if I remember, platform.
Yes.
And then the second one, he did win.
Yes. You're
but
right.
It's hard to recognize. It's easy to recognize a politician after money, but it's hard to recognize one that's after power.
Yes.
That was Nixon. That's what he was after.
Yeah, and that he got so paranoid, he would have won the election. He didn't even need the whole Watergate thing.
That was a bad
thing. So crazy. He didn't even need that. Yeah.
And, but Cruz is running his campaign in the same way. And I go all the way back to that college interview where he was asked, what do you want out of life? And he answered, I want to be king. I want to rule the world. Well, that's his base, his foundation, like any house you build. The house is only as good as your foundation is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what worries me about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he has got the Christians, the reborn Christians and the whatever they want to call them. He's gotten snookered, I believe, because I'll be honest with you, ain't the first politician, honest.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, that's the thing, you know, it's how you get caught up in the how do I win over the voters and the certain demographics, you know, that's part of the deal. All right, keeping your kids safe and others around you from getting into your pot stash. Stay with us.
Kick it.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hey, hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You know that cannabis now is becoming legal in so many states. Coming up, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what happens when kids start to get around pills or other types of materials like pot, and they get into it and eat it. This happened in Colorado. Of course, Colorado, it's legal, but that doesn't matter. It's not somebody had pot out and their kid just ingested a whole bunch of it. But anyway, and pot smokers traditionally keep their pot in certain places, but in some areas, they have a state-mandated child-proof container. They do. They have them. Some other people say they do the lock and key thing. You know, they just get something where they put it in a lock, or they put it in some kind of a other safe, some other storage units, whatever, novelty areas to hide, just like they do valuables. So where's the best place to hide it? And of course, the whole idea is because we've had some of these stories that have popped open about children and ingesting, in some cases, pretty large quantities of marijuana. Of course, you don't want that. So wait till you meet our next guest coming up. He's got some great ideas about, well, his company invented. As a result of something that happened with his daughter, he invented something that acts as a solution to that so that you're not in that situation where where a child gets into these so-called child-proof locks and all that kind of stuff. So you don't want to miss that. All right, along the way as we maneuver, you know, everything breaks now in the 140-character world. You can chime in, by the way, about anything you want to. It's wide open Wednesday into Thursday, 855-266-5283. But we hear a lot of noise in the 140-character world because so much breaks in the Twittersphere. So time for a little tweet this. Oh, yeah. Tweet, tweet. And our tweeter basically tells us that, you know, in looking at the election, you've got now Carly Fiorina, who made a little bit of noise earlier in the day by her endorsements. You have Hillary Clinton, who is trying to unify the Democrats, but is having to answer a lot of same questions about relationships with Wall Street, about emails, about Benghazi a little bit, too. That's not the biggest thing that's her Achilles heel, though. Her biggest thing is the emails right now at this point. And so you wonder where it's all going to end up. And then there was a great quote today that I saw on Twitter from Politico. They tweeted it out. General Patton's grandson said, "Mr. Trump, you are no Patton," because he was comparing himself to the great general. And he got wind of it, and then he shot that out. And this is what you see. This is, I think Twitter is as much for tweeting things out and sometimes surprising people with what you tweet out. But the rebuttals, in the world of rebuttals, it is huge what often comes back. And tweeted all over the place from the first bilingual debate, Univision ponies up with CNN, and it was a Democratic debate, was the question that was asked. Jorge Ramos asked Hillary Clinton, "Will you drop out if you're indicted?" And that question really hung in the air. She wasn't thrilled about it, but that was tweeted out all over the place. I mean, all over the place. Then I ran into something on the Twittersphere that had a link to everything you wanted to know about the Clinton emails, and it's wapo.st/ClintonMailFacts. And it's a fact checker. I mean, you go in there and you see all the facts of whatever comes out of that. And then these are all political scenarios. There is the link that shows Trump and says new polls show Donald Trump leading his rivals in their home states. And this is the biggest fear. Okay, Kasich doesn't win Ohio. Rubio doesn't win Florida. How do they possibly hang in? And the answer is you don't hang in. You know, you don't hang in. And here's what I loved. This was Mark Noller, covers politics. He tweeted out, because you asked, here's the complete state dinner menu to be served tomorrow. And on the menu, they've got baby lamb chops. They have Yukon potatoes. They have spring vegetables. And it's written in the most beautiful handwriting you've ever seen in your life, by the way. They've also got roasted apricots. And then they've got a series of salads and openers that they're serving too as well. So who's paying for that menu? Are we paying for that? I have a feeling we are, right? Maybe we're paying for that. Here was an intriguing tweet. It was from The Nation. This man was wrongly imprisoned. They have a picture of a guy for 31 years, and California is denying his compensation. So I would say shame on them for that. You got to amend that critical error. If he's in prison for that long, and you know, that's that whole tough on crime thing, which I get and I agree with. But his name is Tim Atkins, and he was wrongfully imprisoned for such a long time. It was 23 years. For 23 years, imagine someone taking, just think for a second of however old you are, take 23 years, subtract 23 years from your life that you've already had. Boom. Or add it on, depending on your age. So he comes out of Soledad Prison, which is, I know, I'm familiar with it. I used to live in the central coast of California. It's about an hour south of Monterey. He spent most of his life behind bars, then out. Never even seen a cell phone. He was confused when he saw an iPhone with music coming out. He never had a credit card, barely drove a car, and he's 48 years old. He was 17 when he was arrested for a shooting in his neighborhood in 1985. He'd been involved with some illegal activities, they say, and he was accused of robbing Vincente and Maria Gonzalez at gunpoint on New Year's Eve and fatally shooting Vincente in the chest. After the murder, the wife said the man who shot her husband held a gun to the back of her head and was short with bulging eyes. He was well over 6 feet tall, weighed 175 pounds. It was only later that she picked him out of a six-pack photo array, you know, picked him out of the lineup. At the trial, she could not identify who he was in the courtroom. She said, "I know he's here because he behaved badly." And when asked to point out her husband's killer, she seemed to be able to identify him. Well, long story short, for the sake of a radio audience, they go through the rigmarole of all of that. He was beaten. He spent months in the hospital recovering from a broken sternum, broken ribs, and he had 32 to life is what he was sentenced to. And now, once they do the Innocent Project takes up his case, and once the testimony is recanted, then it all changes for him, and next thing you know, he's out of prison. So while he was in there, he got a degree from Cal State and all of that sort of stuff. But how do you get back those lives? The answer is you don't. I mean, you don't get those years back of your life. So shouldn't you be compensated? They have to make that decision. I would think he would be a layup to make the decision to do that. A layup. But so far, they have not done that. Wrongfully imprisoned, they him. I mean, that's the law. They've got to make amends for that. And really, you can't make amends. Stay with us. See you on the flip side.
Tweet, 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 tweet. Did you want to meet? Or were you just following me? Twitter.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
If you want fresh, healthy drinking water anytime, anywhere, when traveling, during outdoor activities, or in emergencies, you need the revolutionary Berkey Light System. It removes organic chemicals, pharmaceuticals, viruses, bacteria, cysts, and parasites, chemicals, unhealthy minerals such as lead and mercury, while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light System processes up to 96 gallons of clean, fresh water per day and can be upgraded to 192 gallons per day. And get the Berkey PF2 fluoride reduction filters. They last for up to 1,000 gallons and extract fluoride, arsenic, and heavy metal ions from your water. Get the Berkey Light System along with the PF2 fluoride reduction filters, a $297 value for only $262, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Save $35 now by asking for this special offer. That's toll free, 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Day. Who better to have on the show than a glass ceiling breaker, Sherry Wilson? She was the first female firefighter paramedic in the Dallas Fire Rescue Department. Wow, imagine what that was like. So excited to have her on the show. She's got a book out called Faith on Fire, The First Ingredient of a Miracle is an Impossible Situation. I bet a lot of people listening to us across the country can relate to that. Sherry, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
So you got to take us back to the very beginning of this. First of all, what made you want to go into this profession?
Well, I wasn't really sure that this was what I wanted, but I was working for an ambulance company. I knew I wanted to save lives. But the reason I applied for the fire department was because a man told me I couldn't.
Always a good ingredient, an elixir to ignite a woman's passion for a job, yes.
He said, "You can't do that. You're a woman." He goes, "You're stupid. Women can't be firefighters." And I went, "Oh, well." I went home. I tossed and turned in the bed that night. I was really angry. I was on shift. I went home, took a shower, found my college transcript, walked into the Dallas Fire Department, and within a couple months, going through the processes, I was hired.
Wow. And what was it like the very first time when you put on the gear, learned all the ropes, all that kind of, all the kind of things that go into becoming a firefighter combined with what you were doing? What was that like when that first happened for you?
Well, I mean, out at the academy, it was all a training ground. But the very first really big fire, I just remember my heart pounding. And I was, you know, back in that day, we could stand up on the sides of the apparatus. And this fireman that I was riding with, he looked over at me. And I think he could see, as we were coming up over this bridge, it looked like the sun was coming up. and I had a panic look on my face. And he looked at me and he pointed and he said, his exact words were, "Girl, that fire's already out. You hear me?" And I just went, okay. And we went in there. That was the faith on fire attitude. They didn't look at a fire and go, "Oh my God, what are we going to do?" They had this attitude that was going to win no matter what. And it just stuck with me and it resonated through my entire life. And it ultimately helped me finish nearly 35 years in my career.
Wow. And that, and from that scary moment, there had to be others. The first fire you jumped into the middle of where you thought, boy, am I, did you ever have that thought? Like you said, the winning attitude, did you ever have the thought, "I hope I get out of here. I have a family. I can't believe this." Did you ever once have that thought?
Well, there's times that you do what we call following the hose. You hope to hell the hose going out of the fire instead of to the fire. And so, yeah, I had a few of those. I think the scariest was we went into an old building in downtown Dallas, and it had served many a purposes, but we went up the stairwells, and I was one of the last to go up the stairwell, and I fell through the stairwell. Thank God my butt stopped me from going all the way through. And I was sitting there going, "Oh, God, help me." You know, I was expecting angels. They appeared in bunker gear. And over a period of time, they were able to dislodge me and get me out of there. And I ended up taking a few shifts off. But when I came back, they were like, "She's back." They really thought it would have done me in.
Wow.
And so I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. And before you knew it, gear done.
Yeah, yeah. And what people don't realize is how much does all that gear weigh? This is not an easy task.
I don't know. Probably close to 50 pounds, maybe. I mean, without a mask, it's probably more like 25, 30. But with a mask, it's a little heavier. And they were heavier back in the old day. We used to have old steel tanks, and then finally we went to aluminum and fiberglass, and they were a little bit lighter and easier and more ergonomically comfortable. But, you know, you kind of felt like a pack mule at times. But the gear wasn't the hardest thing. The hardest thing for me were tarps.
Tarps? Why were tarps hard?
Because they are so freaking heavy, and you usually carry two of them. And if you carry them up into a high-rise building, I mean, it's just, it doesn't sound like much, but that and the high-rise bag were the two hardest things to do, the two very hardest things.
Wow. So, crazy. I've spent some time. I was in New York when 9/11 happened, and I had friends who were firefighters, and I spent a lot of time in my life. I've spent time around firefighters, people who do it for a living, and people who are volunteer. And I think one of the hardest things is they never want to lose anybody. And going into a fire where they just can't, you know, where they can't save somebody, or they find somebody was in a back room and it's too late, everything explodes. Did you ever have an experience like that?
Well, I was involved in the 9/11 saga in a way. One, because I was a firefighter. Two, I had just dropped my son off at West Point a month before, and we had done the towers. We had eaten at Windows on the World. We had, you know, bought our little Christmas ornaments and things. And then to have my son near all of that was very stressful. That was a really hard time for firefighters. And the very first shift back, our lieutenant sat us down and he said, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do? We are now the first line of defense for the homeland. You know, our military's over doing what they're doing. Here in America, something hits. We're the first line of defense. What are you going to do? Are you going to go up them stairs just like those firefighters?" And it was funny because it was like a calling to all of us. And, you know, we all made the choice that we were going to keep doing it. We weren't going to be stopped by whatever was out there. Our rules of engagement changed. As a driver engineer, a lot of times I got stuck out with the apparatus instead of in the middle of whatever they were doing, because we were afraid they were going to use our apparatus as some kind of weapon, and so we had to, you know, maintain control a bit. I mean, a lot of things happened because of that. I studied that to the point that, I mean, I had to quit watching it because, you know, we were looking at how the building fell and, you know, how can we, you know, because I really was not expecting those buildings to fall. And so we've gone through a lot of extensive, you know, trying to figure out what happened, how did it happen, what could prevent that in the future. And sometimes I say, stick a fork in me, I'm done. I'm glad it's over with. But I loved what I did. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, once a firefighter, you'll always be a firefighter.
Oh, I hear you on that, knowing so many people who have retired from the fire department and, as I said, have been in it. One thing I know about fire departments is the sense of humor is crazy insane. When I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I was a television anchor, and, of course, I got to know a lot of the firemen. And they had a nickname for me. They used to call me Chipmunk.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I mean, and they meant it lovingly because they would gave me some good inside scoop. And it was just so funny. Like one time accidentally I was interviewing the chief and he was so comfortable with me. He said, "That's right, Chipmunk." And I cannot tell you the letters I got at the station from people about that nickname wanting to know what do they mean by that? So you talk about in your book, you talk about the fire department poop sheet. Tell us what a poop sheet is.
Oh, it's pretty much. Oh, God, you read that part, huh?
Uh-huh.
It was just a tool to lighten the load, so to speak. We called it agitation, and the poop sheet is pretty powerful. You know, words are very powerful. Once you put them out there, they're out there. And of course, you know, there was numerous. I actually have files of poop sheets from over the years, and if it's not a poop sheet, it's a cartoon where, you know, they've put your face in there and you know, had something humorous to say. So yeah, we had a lot of those, and I'm a writer, so you know, I couldn't really fight a lot of the battles that were there, so I did it with my poop sheet, and I was pretty destructive with it at times. I mean, there was a few of them that got really quiet, and when they got really quiet, I knew it was time to kind of back off. But I made my point. I mean, I learned to play those games just as good as they did, and in some cases, a little bit better. I'm not really proud of all of it, but I learned a lot of lessons, and I grew from it, and the fire department seems to be a lot gentler today than it was, but there's always a little bit of cordial hypocrisy, so to speak, going on, you know, people gesturing and posturing to be bigger than the other or better than the other or whatever. I mean, there's just that John Wayne attitude.
Yeah, it's playing the dozens, and you just did it on a sheet, and it was, you know, sarcastic or ripping on somebody's the way they dressed or groomed themselves or whatever it is. As you say, it's a way to, in a weird way, to keep score, do the John Wayne kind of thing for sure. Do you think more women will become firefighters? Have we seen the advent of, hey, now if you can do it, then we want you? Has it gotten better?
Oh, I think it's gotten a lot better. There's nearly 100 in our department now, and I'm going to tell you, I'm a betting woman, and I bet that the next chief will be a woman.
Really?
I would follow this one girl anywhere, but there's three or four of them that are absolutely qualified, have got the thing that's so unique about it is that, and it's how I stay connected to the department, is through my friends, and they have the respect of the men. I mean, that's how good they are at this job, and so it's really exciting to see.
Well, that's cool, especially, like you said, they're that good at the job. All right, Faith on Fire is the book. Sherry Wilson wrote the book. She's the author. And to get a copy of it, can we go to Amazon?
You can go to Amazon or you can go to faithonfire.com.
Awesome. Sherry Wilson, it's been a delight. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Are you tired of the cold this winter? Are you prepared for the next blizzard or snowstorm? What will you do when the power and heat go off? That could be our future. Fortress Clothing's bug out bag with our head-to-toe solution is your one-step answer to survival in the cold. It doesn't expire, it doesn't go bad, it's lightweight and mobile, and it doesn't just sit on the shelf waiting for an emergency. You can use Fortress today. Be warm and comfortable if you or your family work in the cold. be warm and comfortable while you play, hunt, fish, camp, ski, paraglide, go sledding with the family, or just shovel the walks, you will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com is the answer, your emergency preparedness solution to the cold, your solution to working or playing in the cold. Visit us at FortressClothing.com and enter radio. Buy now and receive your 20% off discount. You will never be cold again. FortressClothing.com. It could save your life one day.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $7.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Paid attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Gentleman who is head of Goldman Sachs. Now, he didn't give me $225,000 for speaking fees. He said I was dangerous, and he's right. I am dangerous.
Bernie Sanders speaks. He can hammer Clinton on Wall Street, and he does it now every chance he gets whenever they have one of those little old debates. We're whipping around those final couple of turns here for this hour of America Tonight. Couple of quick reminders. You want more of the show? Here's how you get it. Go to TuneIn. I'm getting a lot of emails about that. Go to TuneIn.com, download the app, piece of cake, or just go to TuneIn. And you sign in, and boom, you can get the show there. Because sometimes I know your schedules change. Also, GCNLive.com, you can download the show there. I've been asked about, what about Facebook and Twitter? Of course, Facebook. Go to Kate Delaney. Boom, Facebook will friend you. Also, so there's a Kate Delaney official page. You'll see that. Also, Twitter is Real Radio Talk. Real Radio Talk, right? Kind of like the other side of Bill O'Reilly, no spin, Real Radio Talk. So, you know it's real here, because we let you peek behind the curtain and everything. So, a little bit of a scrappy debate for the Dems. It's important, if you are a Republican and you're not paying attention to the Democrats a little bit, you should be, because you want to see what's happening with the momentum. Bernie Sanders. I'll tell you what, I saw a shirt today. Bernie Sanders, vets for Bernie Sanders. The vet thing in Bernie Sanders is big. Millennials and Bernie Sanders, big. But doesn't it just seem so, you have to like stretch your imagination like silly putty around the room to really believe that Bernie Sanders would get the nomination. It's Clinton all day long. Borrowing a misstep, meaning that they actually have enough to go after Clinton with on the email thing. But Loretta Lynch isn't going to do it. That's not going to happen. In fact, Loretta Lynch talked about that earlier in the day, the attorney general. So it's just unlikely. So let Sanders and Clinton accuse each other of all kinds of things. Failing miserably on immigration, that was one of the hot-button issues for this time around. Also, the Wall Street thing, also health. I mean, you know, they went round and round and round and round and round. I read an interesting story worth bringing up. And in fact, we're going to have Dana on the show. We're trying to have Dana on the show. The schedules just aren't working out. But Dana Milbank, I think, is a really solid reporter for the Washington Post and may be on some of the Sunday Swirl shows, I'm sure. But after he talks about after Clinton's surprise loss in the Michigan primary on Tuesday, that now there's these questions about her appeal. And her campaign manager is this guy, Robbie Mook, who arranged a conference call with reporters to talk about a new strategy because he's got to keep the wheels, you know, turning. So she's going to build on the work she did. She's going to lay out a specific plan to create more good-paying jobs. So did the Michigan loss identify something vulnerable for Clinton against really an opponent who's popular, who's the populist guy? And what they keep saying is, well, she's the only one who's rolled out a specific plan to create more good-paying manufacturing jobs. But what's the strategy? What's the strategy here? I think there's some trouble for Hillary Clinton. I think there's some trouble here. Because she's also caught up in the mechanical-ish performance, right? Like, does she seem authentic? Sometimes you catch her like that, but it's so rare, and I think that's part of the deal. And look, she's not getting blue-collar workers. There's a definite deficit with white men. He talks about that in his column. And there's kind of a warning sign that's out there for Hillary Clinton. This loss in Michigan is one of them. I think it does show there's some vulnerability there. I mean, it is about the math. It is, but the math might not add up in the end, and that takes him all the way to the convention. I'm just going to throw this out there, and I suggested it the other day, and of course the phone lines blew out and people were sending messages and all kinds of things, but what if there's two brokered conventions? Would that be wild? Of course it would be wild, because we haven't seen that. We haven't seen, let alone one brokered convention. Not in my lifetime we haven't seen it. If that happened, that would just be crazy insane. I mean, crazy insane to have both conventions back-to-back weeks going from, you know, Ohio and Philly. The Democrats are in Philly, and doing the deal, doing the dance. Wow. Insanity, folks. I mean, insanity. If that were the case. So, interesting times. You know, wasn't it Confucius that said, may you live in interesting times? We live in interesting times. We definitely live in interesting times. No doubt about it. Absolutely. As we maneuver around here at the tail end, I like to give you what I call hot shots, to give you a little bit of what else is happening, both in the political world and a few other quickies for you. So how about this? Marco Rubio, senator from Florida, saying he regrets getting personal with Donald Trump. He's saying this is a strategy that's failed, making personal attacks against Trump. It hasn't done anything to slow the billionaire's trek across America. So Trump is calling for the Republicans to unify after, you know, trouncing his rivals. And I think Rubio's realizing, okay, time to back down, because, yeah, I'm in a situation where if I want anything to do with the cabinet position, if he's the guy, or whatever moves forward, it doesn't make any sense for me whatsoever. And then how about this scary moment? Joe Biden says his family was near the scene of a Tel Aviv attack. So there was people hauled off in ambulances. Pretty frightening when you think of that, you know, the vice president and that, and his family, well, really his family, being that close to a wreck of a scene. People forget that, but in Tel Aviv and in Israel, they're used to this. I should say they're used to it, that they've got things that happen sometimes on the street. I mean, like anywhere, but also the occasional bombing problems. So his wife, Joe Biden said on Wednesday, his wife Jill and their grandchildren were dining on a beach when a Palestinian killed an American tourist with a knife and wounded 11 other people on the seafront. Not very far away. Now, check this out. Since October, Palestinian stabbings, shootings, and car rammings have killed 28 people, 28 Israelis, and at least 179 Palestinians, 121 of whom Israel say were assailants. Wow, that's scary. And, you know, here you had Taylor Force, a 28-year-old Vanderbilt University grad student, a U.S. military vet who served tours of duty in Afghanistan and Iraq, was killed. Killed, senseless. And 11 other people wounded before police shot the attacker. So here's this American who serves our country the way he did, and then this is what happens to him. The randomness of it all. And they were very, very close. I mean, I'm sure that was a pretty tense moment for Joe Biden when he got the word that it was pretty close. I mean, because what do? I'm sure they have Secret Service, but still. How about this? California lawmakers are near a vote on raising the smoking age to 21. How do you enforce that? ID everybody? Unless you are positive they are older. Let me see. Let me count the wrinkles and see if you are old enough. Yeah, so they're talking about doing that. And by doing that, they want to crack down on tobacco, they say, and health problems, once again trying to regulate. It would move the buying age of cigarettes, well, as I said, from 18 to 21, and electronic cigarettes would face the same restrictions. Ooh, the vapor people probably hate that. Yo, yo, to all of you for listening to This Hour of America tonight. Appreciate it, folks.
Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.